Thanks. The purpose of this discussion is to tell you some of the current developments in the field, and in particular, the so-called quantum simulation program is a program that is a very ambitious program that's pursued worldwide, it brought to the forefront of coatoms very prominently a couple of years ago by a announcement of two major programs. One is a MIRI program, and in particular the DARPA program. By this time, it funds close to 80% of the researcher in the United States, and the European also has participated in the program, and it's a very heavy investment, and it was secured by DARPA in a line item request to the Congress on the House Appropriation Committee. The goal is to use coatoms in optical lattice to do some of the most difficult problems in solid state physics. When it's first announced, I think it has met with quite a bit of skepticism and even cynicism. But as time goes on, it has been going on for close to a year and a few months now. And it turns out that a lot of good things come out from it. And as we shall see later in the talk, that I think it would actually move the both atomic physics and in some ways condensed metaphysics to a slightly different different era. And certainly it has a lot of new motivations for atomic physics. The program has been generated after a many years study of DARPA. DARPA is a
Advanced Research Agency.
Yeah. So they have been sending out people for close to 2 years, attending many conferences in coatoms, trying to figure out is it really worth doing it, and then I am going to tell you very quickly, in a nutshell, what this is about, where it is going to be, why is it so difficult, why it needs us, I mean the really huge fraction of community theorists and experimentalists to move to a different level. In the simplest version is that one wants to make a 3D and 2D hybrid model. Just for 3D model, because sometimes we know what the answer is, and at least one can use it to calibrate whether this device or whether this scheme is reliable. And to go to two-dimensional hybrid model, of course, that one wants to find out what the ground state is. And in the last few years, there are hundreds of papers on coatom physics. I would say that most of them are not helpful for the experiments. I mean, most. I mean, 99.9%. The reason is that we shall see that there's a very serious difficulty that is in this endeavor, and the difficulty, Jim would probably, be the one who appreciate mostly, is because we have to go to a temperature regime that have never been gone to before. I don't mean low. I mean really, really low. That is about two. Basically, we are about, in my opinion, at least two orders of magnitude from the temperature regime. The temperature regime is 10 to the minus 12 degree.
12.
In order to be successful,
Are you going to say in a nutshell why 10 minus 12?
Yes, I'm going, but no, it's not. It's actually one of the reasons that I'm going to, but it will be discussed very thoroughly. And most experimentalists are now struggling to achieve that regime. Basically, it is not the time that we need to yet to solve, as far as for this program to succeed, it's not that we yet need to solve another model with a fantastic behavior. It's just a physics problem of how to get to that low temperature. Now one may say, well, it's just an engineering problem. I mean, why should I bother? I would like to remind the audience that in this situation is very much like the beginning of BEC, and the very much beginning in and also at the beginning of the dramatic year of 2004. It's not that we do not understand BEC. Einstein told us what it is, and it's in the textbooks. But to realize it, it requires a brilliant breakthrough, a new development of a cooling system, the laser cooling. But the laser cooling requires the use of relativity. That is not just the engineering. One needs to understand deeply how atoms interact with light, and then that that's the way. I mean, and it's a completely counterintuitive phenomena. Usually, you shine light on something, it hits it, but then there you cool it down. And it's entirely because of relativistic physics. And in the case of strongly interacting Fermi gases, which is the next most natural development of co-atoms, it's not that we do not understand BCS theory. BCS theory tell you a long time ago there are lots of superconductors, and then Superfoot HIM 3 tells you even what the phenomena when the internal degrees of freedom. But to get to realize it, it requires tremendous effort because again the temperature is too low. To realize it, we make use of the so-called flashback resonance. But what flashback resonance is that one has to have interaction. That is the maximum strength possible. The example I like to use it is that one has to go to like quantum electrodynamics. One has to go the fine structure constant to infinity. One basically have to go into that strong interacting physics that in order to realize the fermion superfluid. Now we are at the same juncture. In order to do this, one has to have a, in my opinion, a some sort of breakthrough, either conceptually or in technologically. And I believe that once this is achieved, it will be so easy. If this is ever achieved, and the method will be so simple and easy and beautiful. And we have some proposal, which is I think the only proposal in the market. It's not my goal here to push my agenda. My goal here is to tell you the current situation. So at the end, I will say something about our proposal, but mostly I will tell you that where things are, so that when you want to look into these things, that you can contact various people and know where things are. More importantly, I think, is that the discussion would show that even if one want to help as a condensed matter physicist, then the kind of problem that we are doing, for example, the condensed matter physicists are used to solve problems like ground states, excitations, statistics, etc. There's a harder problem, which is look at the excitation, look at the thermodynamic quantity, and really calculate the function temperature. That, it turns out, is what is really needed in all these calculations. One has to do the finite temperature calculations. It is not sufficient. If I want to study the Kitaya model to understand all the wonderful property at that T equals zero, because it may not help you to realize it. What is really needed is to calculate entropy at finite temperature. And then calculating entropy is a very, very crucial step in this set of experiments. So the reason I mentioned earlier that many theory papers are really not that helpful at the moment is because most of them do not address the question of thermodynamics, the question of entropy. Now, with this introduction, I'm going to...
I'm a little bit confused. So you said that we're going down to extremely low temperature, like 10 to the minus 12 Kelvin. So why... This is maybe a very stupid question, but then at that temperature scale, why is the thermal fluctuation important at all? I mean, that's very close to T equals zero, right?
When you're that close, even some small things is important. But the issue of the difficulty and the role of entropy and temperature will be discussed very thoroughly later because that is the stumbling block of the entire program at the moment. And now I should also say that I'm not a pessimist. 2 years ago, I gave a talk in March meeting criticizing some of the measurement methods in these lattice experiments and questioned some of the results whether they have actually realized quantum phase transitions. And the rumor in Europe saying that I declare the whole field is dead, which is not true. In fact, I would like to make the point that we can actually get there. And then there, and I think to me that's what is exciting, that we could actually go to a regime where we haven't gone to before.
Jason, just to follow up on that question. A typical J scale in the problem, right, like some high score, compared to that, how much is 10 to the minus 12 Kelvin?
J? Yeah. Oh, you mean T squared by U?
Yeah.
It is 10 to the minus 12.
It's 10 to the minus 12?
That's the scale.
Uh-huh. So that's where the temperature comes from.
That's where the temperature comes from, yeah. But as later we'll see, temperature is really not the right way to think about it. It's not actually the useful way to think about it. It's the entropy. Again, I'll come back to it. This is what is happening in the United States. In Europe, there are more, even some of them, some projects are equally, or sometimes in some ways, it is a very ambitious project. So I would also like to say something about the development in Europe. To put everything in perspective, I would like to just list some of the key developments in quantum physics, not just to give you a laundry list, but because these developments, as we shall see, the current project is impact is affected a lot by this development. So first, there's a development in BEC, and in 2004 there is a fermion superfluid, and this one comes from strong interactions. And then there's a discovery or the realization of a pseudo spin a half Bose gas, and also there's a later and a year later there's spin one Bose gas and spin two Bose gas, etc. So now one would have these are pseudo spins and these are real spins, and so there are multi. So now one has to go to atoms with the internal degrees of freedom, and for fermions then the spin is even larger, like 9/2. And in between here, and there's a very major development, which is the observation, or the optical lattice experiment, is so called the superfluid to insulator transition, and this done in the bosons. So there, what happened is that experimentally one can realize a so-called boson-Hadamard model. And they and this two development has given a lot of promise that one could begin to use core atoms to some of the strongly correlated physics, and it emerges to the case of the current program on quantum simulations. And the in between there, there's another development which is somewhere, and there's a set of experiments on fast rotations. And the goal is to realize the quantum Hall states. And this experiment is still going on. And yesterday I got a paper from Stephen Chu's group. He even though he became a secretary, he energy, and he had a group in at Stanford. That's still a postdoc student working on the rotating cluster experiments, and it is a paper submitted to a proceeding of a conference where they report some their current efforts to realize quantum Hall states in a lattice. I would also mention that the current quantum simulation program has to do a lot with in U.S. And there are different fronts. There are for the DARPA team, there are three teams, and each team does slightly different things. There are overlaps, but then they are quite different. The first is the MIT Harvard team, and then has a and Stanford also in there, and then there's the Munich, the Emmanuel Bloch's groups also in there. So it's a very big team, and then they have solicited the help of one of the best quantum Monte Carlo group at UMass in the world, is by Prokofiev and Visnov.
So not all of this is in the U.S.
then. There's some foreign associates. Usually, foreign associates do not draw money.
Ah, I see.
So they are there for scientific reasons. The second one is the Rice team. The Rice team has only one. This one has many experimentalists, and this one has one experimentalist, and then and then the rest of them are theories. There's Princeton, and Cornell, and OSU, and Pittsburgh, and Illinois. And all supporting. Now this group is going to do 3D hybrid model, and then the 2D hybrid model. And this is going to do 1D. And the goal is to at the first round is to find the FFLO state, and then later on and go to 3 and 2D. These are all fermion hybrid models. And there's the Maryland team. The Maryland team is a gigantic team, has many PI in it, and then there's the experimentalists, including Chicago, Berkeley, and then the Georgia Tech. And
what's the commonality of these different lines? Is it what, funding lines or what?
No, these are different teams for different.
This is a whole team.
This whole team doing this. And this is a whole team. And then I'll explain why it's. Well, I mean, one can argue why may not. Maybe you don't. Well, you see that there's a party sociology. At the beginning, it's party sociology. Only after the team formed and gradually, then the whole thing will consolidate into something very specific and much more scientific. The Marin and different team has a different goals also. I mean, for example, the Rice team in the first round is focusing on the so-called FFLO state in one dimension. The reason is that this in 1D there are exact solutions also. Basically, the general goal is that there's a benchmark you have to meet. from the benchmark, you go to the next step. And then the this would be the OSU and then the Michigan, etc. And this is mainly on what eventual goal is do spin liquids, and then quantum spin chains. And at the moment, it's mostly focused on both on hybrid models. So the investment is quite huge. Now in Europe, you notice that none of this do quantum Hall effects.
Seems that except for the FFLO state, these are almost all Hubbard models.
It's all Hubbard models, all lattice. The DARPA project is the title is a quantum, it's optical lattice. Emulator. There is an article written on it in Science. I don't remember. It's a couple years by Adrian Cho. And you can, it is in Science, and there's a general article on this program, and you can.
And it's all fermions.
No, except for what this the one team is referred to as a boson team, because the Bose system can also
become,
yeah, the Bose Hubbard model and the boson system can also turn into quantum spin system easily. So that's the in Europe there are some ambitious projects which is some of these are also have some European I forget to write it down. But in Europe, there's a, especially at the ENS at Paris, and there's an ambitious program to do a quantum Hall. Now, the quantum Hall is also pursued continuously at JILA by Eric Cornell, by Eric Cornell's group. And there, in particular, there is also a very special project to pursue a particular state, which I call zero-dimensional RVB. It's a special singlet state. Of spin one Bose gas. And it has many remarkable properties which I probably would come to at the end. And I shall describe to you some of the key stumbling blocks in every one of them, and some of them have very great similarities. In particular, I will focus on this program and this one, and I will say a few words about the quantum Hall systems. There are two reasons to describe them. One is just tell you the current situation. The other is to make the point that to solve this problem, they all have an opportunity to move the whole field to a different level, both theoretically and especially technologically. Let me finish. And I'm trying to make the point that this is, in order to solve this problem, one, the position measurement, which is the crying success in the atomic physics, has to be moved on a different level. One has to begin to do position measurements in quantum many body theory. And I think that's the end of the message. And I will explain to you why. Sorry.
GT means Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech, yeah.
What about some other small groups? They're not in this group. This is a exhaustive list?
No, this is the DARPA team. Teams are in the DARPA. They're funded by DARPA.
Right, this is the place that got money.
These are the
place that got NSF.
Not NSF, but DARPA.
Two questions. Well, you mentioned at some point the KIT-IF model. These models people use or suggest for quantum computing. They're not included in this list?
This has not yet. At the moment, none of this. In fact, it's specifically not related to quantum computations. The quantum computation is a pretty before this program is the DARPA has a quantum computation program. That program is winding down, and there are other funding agency is very interested in using the understanding the connection between coatom and the quantum information processing. That is a separate beast. That has to have a lot to do with the reason I write this down is because, so that has to do a lot with the internal degrees of freedom of particles. And this, actually, so see, if you have time to come to this part, and you will see that this has a lot of remarkable states, it's conceivable that one can use it for quantum information processing. This highly entangled states.
Another question,
just then, so in fact, before you come, before that's a couple of weeks before, and DARPA begin to not DARPA. I mean, I think. Army here. They begin to try to understand and try to find out what is the say after this program is finished, which might be in 4 years or so. What be the next steps, and whether one would not like to go to the more closer to materials, using coatoms or quantum information. Sorry, Jim, I don't.
Question. I don't know much about this at all, but. DARPA is a pretty demanding organization.
Yes, I think.
When they fund something.
Yeah, right.
They usually say, at the end of the first year, you're going to have done this. At the end of the second year, you're going to have done this. At the end of the third year, you're going to have done this. And they have words like deliverables and stuff like that.
Jim knows everything. Yeah.
This is not.
No, it is.
These guys signing on to produce certain results on a certain time scale?
Since now you ask these really interesting questions, I'm going to tell you the fuller story. Because that's why I say at the beginning that one tend to be I told DARPA that I was very skeptical when I go on the program, and then in some ways I'm also cynical. The DARPA original, no, don't laugh. The DARPA's original announcement is the following. Is when you look at it, people will laugh and say, the theory, okay, there are two steps. You have to go to phase one and then go to phase two. Now, to go to phase one, you meet, as you say, all the milestones, and they're very strict about it. And how do you meet the milestone? That the experiments has to agree with theory. The experiment has to be done in 12 hours, including analysis. Press a button at the 12 hours again, and it has to be agreed with the first in the first phase. I have agreed with the theory, the 90% accuracy, and the theory and the but the experiment is supposed to generate a phase diagram of at least two variables, not just two variables. The phase diagram and the agreement with theory is 90%, and then at the same data point, is exactly now. So it's a huge demand. So. Now everyone is signing on it, of course. Now, of course, now can you deliver it? So they have meetings every 6 months to report the progress, and they have also and each team also have meetings to discuss the progress and the strategies. In fact, next weekend there's a retreat in Berkeley for this purpose. The progress made was actually surprisingly good for some team. Some of them, especially the RISE team, actually in the last meeting, DARPA was expressed how pleased they were about the progress. So I think if not all the milestones can be met in the first phase, but I think they are very close.
Yeah, but you started off this discussion by saying that. Big breakthrough is required to reach temperature scale beyond anything dreamt of, and that's not something that you can rationally predict when will it occur.
Ironically, I think the DARPA program was created without, definitely, maybe I'm saying, because I'm the one who tells them what the problem. They created the program without realizing these problems. And the reason, it's really a long story, but it is a very good dinner story, is that there are some, and such as the theories propagate the idea that it's very easy. And the now, So I think now, okay, as I mentioned, there are two steps, the upper, you go to the first step, and then the second step. The first step is easier. The second step, which is, go, let's say, two-dimensional hybrid model, and then you need to go to those temperature scales. The second step, is which is the really, we want, which in order to, for the this program to fulfill its promise, then you have to go to those regimes. And the second step is a step, I think it requires those breakthroughs. And then I think DARPA, actually, this is actually quite eye-opening. Officially, I mean, the one that we deal with, and to tell you that, look, I don't care how many papers you publish, I don't care how many students, and you, I don't get, care you get Nobel Prize, all you are asking, deliver what you promise. But in private, then there was, you discover they are very interested in physics, and they officially, they openly, they don't say it, some of the program manager, they are really, I think they have a secret agenda of funding good science. They cannot say it.
So, just to follow up on what Jim was saying, I mean, maybe you've already answered the question, but usually DARPA, you can see a clear connection between what they want you to do and some weapons system.
No. They fund string theories. They fund lots of mathematics. They fund a lot of abstract mathematics. In the first round when we have first meeting, they do tell us a lot of the other things they do, i.e. how to, I mean, help the disabled soldiers. So, I mean, they're chosen a lot of product they produce. I mean, they spend a lot of funding to do something related to defense, help soldiers, but I was surprised how much they fund for mathematics, abstract mathematics, so I am now, let me just pause to answer some questions before I go to talk about the difficulties. And in order to understand the difficulties, then let's ask then how, for example, I mean, the you have had the optical lattice, something like this. And then you put two laser counter propagating laser beams, and then either IKX, either minus IKX, so the electric field is proportional to cosine KX, and the atom is therefore seeing a potential proportional to the square of electric field. So therefore there is a light field, and then the atoms can, depending on the frequency of light field, the system, the atoms can sit either at the minimum or at the maximum. So that piece of, but for simplicity, just think about the atoms sit at the minimum. So if you have a three counterpropagating light field in three different directions, and then you can still form a three-dimensional lattice. And you can adjust the intensity of the light field. And then if you adjust, if the light field is high, then the hard particle is hard to tunnel from one side to the other side. So the tight binding model becomes very good. And if you even turn it higher, you can cut off the tunneling. So as a result, you can make, so for example, you make the three lasers, these two set lasers weak, and this one is very strong. And therefore you can produce, in this case, you can produce a lot of two-dimensional planes. And then if you, and so you can produce a set of 2D systems, or likewise, you can also produce a set of 1D needles. And then all this can be done very quickly. So and this potential, because cosine potential is a really very good cosine potential. And in fact, if you think about that, there are three sets of light field, the potential just cosine k dot x, kx, plus cosine ky, cosine kz, plus cosine kz. And this is just a three set of cosines, and then remember the kinetic energy, kx p squared, py squared, pz squared. So you have three 1D system they put together. So the band structure is very, but each one of them, the band structure is a trivial, it's 1D system. So the main point is that this system, is very easy. Well, he did the line, the laser very well, but can be produced very easily. And the band structure can be calculated with arbitrary accuracy. It's very well characterized systems. So now, but once the fact that you can well characterize system, that means you can estimate the all this parameter like t and t squared over u very accurately. And then the t squared over u, which is important for hopping, is 10 to the minus 12 degrees. For typical experiment parameters that one wants to. And that is the origin of the difficulties. Questions?
I mean, if that's your scale, I would naively think that, you know, to see interesting physics like superconductivity or, you know, even antiferromagnetism.
Well, superconductivity, you may see it, or the other J, or the T. But this is still 10 to the minus 9, 10 minus 10. So it's still, it's tough. I mean, it's equally difficult. It's equally difficult.
What is really setting the scale of T and U here? It's the electric fields of the lasers, right?
The electric field set up a potential, and then you can solve. Then you have the lowest band, and so basically, it is an electric field that set the scale that the and also there's interaction, but the atom has interactions.
Right.
Okay. So there the hopping T. Is set by the electric field, if you like.
It seems like you can. I mean, it seems like making the laser intensity smaller, you can make
absolutely.
Make T
that's right.
Bigger.
But then you may go away from the lowest band.
Uh-huh.
Then it's certainly true. I mean, you can make it move very. But if I really want to produce a tie binding model faithful to the electrical model, then the regime that I am forced to work with. It's difficult.
And how well do you control the filling?
The
filling of the band.
The filling, you don't need to control it. You adjust, it's actually a crucial part, but we'll come to it, because I have told you the infinite lattice, but there's no such thing. But then,
But I thought the nice thing about optical lattice is that you can actually wandering around with a dramatically different parameter. So that only works for the Bose type confinement, but doesn't work for this kind of terminal.
No, it's by maybe we could be a bit more precise about what I mean by what you say about changing the. Questions to do what? Yeah, for example, here there's a lot of flexibility to change the band. You can raise it up and down, and then you can make its first dimension change dimensionality. And there are also schemes to halve. So, I mean, you can have double well and then gradually raise it. So there are all kinds of flexibility. But then but to do what basically? So. The answer is that the flexibility is there for both boson and fermion experiments. It's not restricted only to bosons. I think that I'm not clear at something. Many people seem to be frowning.
So the U that goes in here is just from Van der Waals interaction?
I have to go back to a little bit because to understand this, then it's very useful to compare with the case without lattice. The case without lattice, usually I just have a so-called harmonic trap, and the harmonic trap is actually very big on the atomic scale. So basically, there's a huge background harmonic trap, but then the atoms are really separated like this, and they're scattering through what they call the S-wave interaction. So the Hamiltonian for most atoms in free space. It's exceedingly simple. Let's just take the boson. The boson would be something like this. These are few operators, and then the interaction is just like this. And this parameter is again very well characterized, and it's a is a scattering length, and so this is something that they can measure or calculate very accurately in atomic physics. These are very co-atoms, and they are very low energy, they scatter with low energies. And so this is the S-wave scattering length at low energy, and then they can extract this, and this will give you the interaction parameter. Now, once you have this, so this is well known in free space. In the optical lattice, all I need to do is to decompose psi into the lowest band, and then from there on, then suppose a is in the lowest band, so you get the one area function at say this psi, and then it's a fourth power, and then this one is this square, and then g, and then this is a wave function, the fourth power, and then this guy is what one to refers to as u. So all these are again very, I mean, one knows these parameters very well. Now, this there is some flexibility or changing this scattering length, because I can change the magnetic fields, and so this can be changed. So there is some flexibility of changing the interactions, and there are also flexibility of changing the Hopping constant T by raising it up and down. So.
I thought that people were trying to get to make, these are for neutral atoms, your essence for neutral atoms, so I thought there was a big push to use dipolar, somehow polarized system that had longer range interactions, but it would seem that from the way you make this estimate of this temperature, that that's the best thing you want to do.
This is made for...
It would be even worse, the temperature scale. Am I misunderstanding?
The Hopping, you see, the polar molecule is for a different purpose, because these, the polar molecule is basically to generate, as you say, longer range interactions, and the motivations are entirely from quantum information processing, because one of the problem of using core atom to do quantum information processing is that this non-parameter is usually very, very weak, and they are local. And because so weak, then the computation time is very long. So that's why they go to dipolar molecules. Yeah. But that is another development, which is not included here.
It's not that this interaction can be tuned very well, and you say it's weak, right?
So you can make it strong, but then that is a longer story. But then continue.
I'm just wondering, because as far as I know, they have realized. The systems below the Fermi temperature, and they see the Fermi surface.
Right? That's right.
So that they are below T. And
so not really. But you see, the Fermi surface can be sharpened up, begin to sharpen up at a temperature even above T. Then you can begin to see the things.
At least it should be of the same order of T.
It could be, yeah. Then it could be.
So if I choose U just of the order of T, then I should be there, right?
Oh, well, but then I would not be in the, but in a strongly correlated limit, and then T squared over U is supposed to be small. Well, T over U is small.
Yeah, but I choose 5 times this branch, and I...
Yeah, well, I mean, so the... you could, I mean, the one has to really work out the... You can work out the numbers, but I'll explain to you that doesn't matter how you estimate, because there's a quite much quicker way to see whether you can get there, and and it's useful to understand how the experiments are done today, because all this, as usual, you will see, may not be relevant. There's a really key important issue about matching entropies, which I'll explain. I don't know whether I answered all the
questions. Jason, maybe he asked a different question. This is for magnetic order. Maybe he asked this chemical potential for Fermi gas.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah.
I'm asking you that.
Its chemical potential for Fermi gas is much higher.
We are getting gradually into the main problem now, because to get the magnetic there are various kinds of orderings. There's a particle ordering, there's a spin ordering, and I must get the particle to order. I.e., if I want to get a so-called mod phase, get an antiferromagnet, I must first get one particle per psi first. If I have a hole, then I don't want. So I get one particle per psi. I get the particle to order, but then spin may not be ordered, and then later on I need to get the spin to order. Getting the particle order, there's no problem. there's an easy, and then one can get those temperature, and there are various ways to do it. But to get the spin to order is a big problem. And one has to get to this kind of regimes. And two, however, those two are I mean, there's a strong interplay between the 2 degrees of freedom, as we shall see, to understand the physics, the difficulty, and the way to overcome the problem.
Did you see the point that you could make it of almost the same order, right?
One can make it the same order, but that's not a problem. The question is, if I really want to faithfully produce a hybrid model in the regime that I want to study, that's one can go to a regime where things are, the parameters are large, but the kind of phenomena may not answer the question that one wants to answer. The goal of the quantum simulation problem is, I just want to, it's my fault I have not emphasized, is the ultimate goal is really to use it to solve problems that has not been solved before. Suppose you give me a model. All you tell me is that the model, you have a physical system that faithfully produces that model. There are strong evidence that. The question is that if I cannot even do Monte Carlo on that model, I want to get an answer. I want to know whether this has a superfluid phase, whether it has an ordering of any sort. Can you tell me? And then the goal of this is supposed to do that. Now, I have only talked about how to get into those regime, how to read from the experimental data. Suppose I do an experiment, I see those data. How to go use those data alone will tell you the answer that you want, i.e. how do I know that it has a F-ray superfluidity? How do I know it has various kinds of strange order? That is a separate issue, but I don't know whether I have time to talk about it, but that is something which the second half of the quantum simulation program need to be addressed very seriously. And there are also ways to do it.
I think this, as Jim mentioned, there's a problem with tuning the range of the interaction. Usually you only get short range interaction. If you put a dipolar, you get some long range interaction. I heard just recently people do Rydberg atoms. Rydberg atoms?
The Rydberg atoms, yeah.
So they got a large electronic clouds. So do they put on optical lattice to increase?
There are experiments. The quantum simulation program is not, it's a large fraction, but does not include all the experiments in optical lattice. But yeah, there are experiments on Rydberg atoms, and they the Rydberg atoms, the use of Rydberg atom is mostly for quantum information processing, because you can communicate far away.
That also increases the.
It just happened that Rydberg atom is hard to control. You're looking at something that's very highly excited state.
Do they put on the optical lattice?
In Beijing a couple months ago, there are reports on, in Humber, that they're actually a big effort they're doing that.
Just to follow up on the question there, the T and U, how independently can you control them? Because you see, the U also gets the Vanier function, the T also...
Oh, you can control them separately, because this one depends on the magnetic field. The Vanier function you can control them separately.
Try to go T as, say, like 10 to the minus 8 or something, and then try to control U by controlling the shape...
That is what Qin Chen is trying to do. I mean, he's trying to go into a regime where T is large and then U, but you can crank up U large by flashback resonance. So it's beginning, happening. So there are some scheme of adjusting parameters, but we shall see, it doesn't matter. Well, it can help you a little bit, but it's not going to, these are just trickling here and there. It's not something that solves the problem fundamentally. And then solving the fundamentally is what the low temperature physicists need to do. Like to think about, I need to find a scheme to increase the cooling power by huge amount.
So just to orient those of us who are ignorant, so how cold are they making these Fermi gases right now? How cold did they get them this time?
I think, well, you can look at it in terms of temperature or in terms of entropy, and I think entropy, I'll explain to you why entropy is the proper way to look at
but
it.
But you wrote down temperature that, here.
No, yeah, I know. The reason is because it's easy to introduce. I think we affect 100 in terms of entropy.
Okay. So it's two orders of magnitude that they need to come down, basically.
Yeah, if the experimentalists disagree with me, it's perfectly fine. But I told them that the argument not with me, but with nature. just for you. So the
all these guys over here in this big dark project, they have to reach this temperature scale to get
it. Some. Well, but eventually on the phase two, everybody has is the same boat. In phase one, the things are easier than you. Yeah, none of it. The next step, the phase two, the phase two begins 6 months from now. Because either this whole thing, which still might happen, I ask them whether it would happen. They say, well, so it depends whether some of the milestones is met. But the kind of language they use in private eye is somewhat helpful. But if you go to phase two, everybody is a symbol. I claim that at the moment, no experimental group has a particular advantage. I mean, there are people who say, well, I'm doing experiments, so it's many, and it doesn't matter, because it's not the, you know. Yeah. Other questions?
What's the time frame for, let's say, phase two? I mean, how long do they have until they...
3 years?
3 years.
How much did you say, one?
3 years. The six months of the phase two is 3 years.
The things to get a phase diagram, so what about the size problem?
You see, okay, here's the problem. You see, the goal was that I'm going to produce the phase diagram for the bulk, not the trapezoid. Well, I want to find out things. Now, the question is, how are you going to read all from this? There's a way. I don't quite know about that, but I'm at least that I can sketch you the way. No, that remarkably, there is a way. Just by looking at it's reactive freedom remarkable. By just looking at it, by just looking at the density, you can actually map out, extract huge information, amount of information for the phase diagram. You can map out the phase diagram, even try critical point, whatnot. In principle, we can do it. So that's. One used to think that, well, this is a harmonic trap and it's non-uniform, it's just a nuisance, why don't I do that? But turns out it's because of that, one actually can use it to one's advantage. It's because of that non-uniformity, one can actually map out the whole thing. Without that, actually one has problems. Yeah. Question?
Yeah, as I said, with this magnetic trap, everything is inhomogeneous. I think all kinds of phase looks very complicated.
I had just answered the question.
Yeah.
It's one thing is bad. I mean, I'm trying to make the point that is actually not quite the same. In fact, it is because of that thing. One thought is bad, and in fact, it's because of that bad thing. One can cool the system to 10 to minus 12 degrees, and one can actually map out entire phase diagrams. You use the worst feature to your greatest advantage. Let me just go on to explain the difficulty of the cooling. In order to do that, one asks that how am I going to cool the system? Usually, suppose in the usual case, I have a big trap and then I have a gas. Now, many of you have heard the so-called evaporative cooling. I mean, like blowing the coffee, cooling the coffee. But the essence of evaporative cooling is Zeeman energy. Let me just explain that because that is very crucial for understanding the difficulty here. The usual cooling system, which works very well in cold gases, is like this. That if you have atoms, this usually have a spins, and then you have a magnetic field, and then you have a magnetic field, and it's holding the same and split, and this is a B field, and this is the atoms. Now just imagine that I have a non-uniform field, therefore B is R dependent. In particular, let me say the magnitude of B increases R. So in that case, so suppose I then have a non-uniform field, then suppose his R is zero, and then the field, so once this is say m equals to one, m equals to minus zero, m equals to minus one, and so this level speaks like this. Now, but suppose I look at the whole space, I mean R and this R and there's a minus R, so I go like this. So therefore, one type of spin is trapped in the potential. The other type of spin is not trapped. So if I have a gas, and then if I have a trap, so you are trying on a non-uniform field, then this is the origin of magnetic trap because there's a lot of atoms trapped in here. Now, then, but if I come in with the RF field, then I can flip the atom from here to there. Then I can just take the atom out. So this is the most energetic atom, so there's a very efficient way to cool the atoms. And if I adjust the frequency of RF field, then I can cut the cloud from here to there. You can cut it very accurately. You know exactly where you stop. So you know even how big the cloud size is. So this turns out a very efficient way. You can go to 10 to minus 6 to minus 9 degrees in a couple of seconds. Turns out none of this works in the lattice. The reason is the following. In order to go to these regimes, one has to go to a deep lattice. A deep lattice is like this. So that in this only in the left lattice I can go in the lowest band. Now if I take the atoms here, I look at this energy level, just compare it, and then the energy level is split, they're going to split like this. The harmonic trap is very gentle. Okay, now I'm going to flip the atoms now. But when you flip it, it's still much weaker than the trap. So once you have a deep lattice, all the cooling, all the method that one know how to use, that works extremely well, ceases to work, and that is the source of the problem. One cannot evaporate in a deep lattice. Now, so what is the current method? The current method is a very,
lower the temperature first.
That's what they did precisely. So the current method is the following. That is basically it's just due to limit the number of choices. Here you have a trap. Before you have a trap. Turn on lattice. You cool it as much as possible. You just make it the lowest temperature. And once you make it the lowest temperature, then you turn on lattice adiabatically. So S is constant. So you don't put in any heat in the system. Now, all the cooling power at the initial stage, once you turn on lattice, there's no more cooling power. So therefore, you are limited to the lowest entropy state that you're possible they can generate currently in an open trap. So you are so at the moment one is the entropy value is lower is limited by the lowest entropy attainable in open traps. And there's a limit at the moment because they can try all kinds of ways to cool it, evaporative and cooling and other kind of cooling. And there's the entropy per site is close to slightly above than log 2. And log 2 is a key point that you need to, if you want to go to log 2 is just barely the high temperature regime it's a very high temperature regime of anti-ferromagnet. And so you want it to be much lower than log 2. So that is the origin. So that at the moment that is this is the current scheme and there's a difficulty. And you're stuck with the prediction is that you need to lower this entropy by a significant amount in order to go into the anti-ferromagnetic states. Easily. So that is basically in a nutshell. I mean, how much time do I have? I don't want to.
We can go for another hour if you like. You
think no. I don't want to burden the. I
think
it's
no more than half an hour, maybe.
Yeah, fine. That. So, so I,
One thing I wanted to ask, I seem to remember hearing that sometimes they could make traps that are sort of very flat and then sharp at the boundaries, and wouldn't that help with this problem if they use that kind of trap in the optical ladder?
Well, the question is that how do you get... So the general question is the following. Tell me what state that you want to get. And then tell me that... And then tell me how do you want to... So the question, how am I going to get there? If I'm going to get there through a diabetic path, then I'm stuck. Then all you need to do is that to tell me... after you announce the state you want to get, tell me what entropy that you want to work with at that time. And then ask me whether I can match that entropy before I turn on the lattice. Turn on any potential.
I'm taking the question back. Is there, if one doesn't have this problem of the, you know, the curvature within the optical lattice, can you then develop something like this for cooling?
That is something that being explored, whether there are clever ways that one can do evaporative cooling at some region, at the edges, and maybe... The question is the question is that whether I can either find a way actively lower the entropy, or I can actively lowering the energy
of
the system, energy, such that it would not have a large entropy regeneration.
This log 2 seems like an amazing coincidence that they can only get it down to log 2. Why is that?
It just happened. It's a coincidence. Well, because I told you that it's what the current technology allows. That's the best they can do. David missed the best part. No, that hasn't come. So I was telling the audience that to make this program succeed, then one has to go to a regime where the physics community hasn't gone before. One has to go to the basic several order of magnitude of temperature lower. And this is a program that has $20 million riding on it, and with many teams, and then the team listed here, and then so it's a lot of riding on it, but it does depends on a crucial step to make it work. Let's see. I would not be able to tell you, but I think probably I'm going to just tell you a brief scheme. The next 5 or 7 minutes, maybe the time is the only time that I'm going to tell you my work, the way that we think that would look how to solve the problem. And then I will go back on to describe to you the effort in Europe. Our way to solve this problem is to try to understand where the entropy is. So David will not be completely lost. Is that in order to go to total temperature scale range, the difficulty is that because all the method that has been working exceedingly well, the lower temperature in cold atom experiments, cease to work in this so-called optical lattice. And here's the way to overcome it. Now, in the optical lattice, typically there are two potentials. You have this potential, and then you have this lattice. And the one wants to, and typically, because the chemical potential is changing, you can think about the chemical potentials mu. If I have an infinite system, and then you have the chemical potential, but then this is a harmonic potential background, then the effective chemical potential is mu minus this harmonic potential. Now, and as a result, because you can put particles in here, but then we have said that if I put two particles, say up and down, and then there's interactions. So that's interaction. That means that you need to overcome this interaction in order to put it on. So that means that you need to raise the potential in such a way in order to suppose I start with one particle per site, and then you need to move it sufficiently high such that the potential here is high, so eventually you put a particle in here. So typically what happens is that you have steps like this. The density profile as a function of R, it has steps, and these are two, which is go up and down, and this is one, it can be either up or down, and then this one is nothing. So that is a typical density profile. At high temperature, you get a mess. T is very high. Now, this is the
message. Do you have like a significant number of wavelengths of the optical lattice in that, you know, region where there's just one atom per cell? Do you know how many sites they might have?
For fermions, I can have only two. The maximum is...
How many...
Sites?
How many sites?
At the moment it's 100 by 100 by 100. So it's 10 to the. So it's about. So it's about a million sites. So it's a pretty. Well, it's not 10 to 23, but it's pretty decent. Yeah. and the. Now. So that. Now at the, so his situation, let me just write. So at higher temperature, then the density profile look a mess, and then at lower temperature gradually you can see something like this. Now at that, now this is a T is greater than this T, suppose T is say greater than J, the hopping, and certain is much less than T over U. Now if you T is less than T squared over U, then you begin to see this magnetic ordering, and then this is what all this team wants to get to. At the moment, they want to see this ordering, and in order to see high TC superconductivity in the two dimensions, then one has to go one step further. One has to make this one. This is half field. This is less than half field. This is more than half field. It's this region that you want to, that if you can enlarge it, that you can see, you can study high TC superconductivity. So you need to make the system very much, the very low density is less than half, this is one is a, this is, let's say, one over here. You make it less than one, and then that is a high TC superconductivity. So at the moment, one is trying to get to this part. Without get to this part, then it's really hard to study all the other things. And then at the moment, there are experiments, there's a report just a couple of a few months ago that they can get to this regime. They can get they can see particle ordering, but they have not. So we are here now.
How sharp is the density steps? I mean, can one estimate it? I mean,
no, this. Oh, you can estimate it by theoretically or what? But the step is controlled by. This one is U over T, something like that. It's of the order U to T.
I guess you're asking the width of the shell, right?
Yeah.
The shell, yeah.
So it should be proportional to the temperature. So in that region, because temperature is not.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it's proportional.
The implicit assumption that the confinement potential is classical and does not fluctuate.
Right.
When will it break down?
Oh, then depending on whether you have money. You can buy CO2 lasers, very quiet. But in principle, it will fluctuate. But then the question is what scale it fluctuates. If we go to CO2 laser, the fluctuation is much less than the energy of the system, U and T, and so those don't fluctuate very much. But it does matter. Because I mean, whether there are students walking around in the room, and then maybe the vibration matters. Yeah.
So at T equal to zero, you get completely quantized?
At T equal zero, you should get
completely
sharp steps.
Right? Completely sharp?
You can see sharp. Well, of the one letter spacing.
So you get what is the main share?
Yeah, you get what?
So there's no finite width domain wall that separates the different
Well, maybe, but there's some interactions. So this is one, it's basically one of the order one letter size. Yeah. If you have t equals zero, but of course, we are not talking about t equals zero.
Will there be finite size fluctuations, or is the system large enough?
100 by 100 by 100. The question is, how do I know? In fact, mapping model density profile is one of the accurately is one of the major effort. Now, David may ask, well, what's mean? This is all engineering thing. But turns out, as I mentioned to you earlier, I have, remarkably, just by looking at the density profile, it's not obvious at this point. If I can measure the density profile very accurately, there's a way to map out the entire phase diagram of the bulk system. If even the system's not uniform, but then the way to map out the phase diagram of the bulk system, it just to give you an example, this is a density, n. N is, provided you swallow one thing. If you are willing to make local density approximation, n is a function of n of mu t. This for the bulk system, right? Now we have just said that for this system it's a post density function position, but if with the way the position comes in is mu minus r v of r and t, then if I can determine this, that the two things, I can map out density profile. If I know the temperature, now you say ask me how, but we'll come to it. And if I know this number, then I'm completely done. And then the experimental data is going to tell me something like, tell me exactly this thermodynamic functions. The singularity of this thermodynamic function will reflect the thermodynamic transitions. For example, Joe Chi is the first one who noticed this, that you take the derivative, you look at this derivative, and then this is compressibility. If you have some sharp things, if you look at density profile, and then you take a derivative, then you see some sharp things, and then you can identify this. You can identify these are the places where thermodynamic transition take place. And so now. We are moving on to the point I'm trying to make at the beginning. Now the demand is the following: the atomic physics community, they now has to push the precision measurement
that position where that has a cost, is that really a domain morph?
No. So what I'm saying is that suppose in general, this is the if there is a transition, let's say it's from a superfluid phase to some other phase, to a normal phase, and this quantity should have singularity. Now, but what I'm saying is that this guy, suppose you take n of r, and then now you take the derivative, and then you suppose, typically, you may get something like this. I may not draw it well, but that regions, that here, so for, this would signify there is a superfluid transition. This turns out this region is a superfluid, and this is a insulator. So one can actually see these singularities, however complicated model, even I cannot solve the model. You have all kinds of interactions in it. These properties are still true. So the goal of the quantum simulation project is to use these systems to tell you solutions, the problem that you cannot solve based entirely on the experimental data.
Isn't there something, in writing that down, that's almost like a Thomas Fermi kind of approximation?
No. Now you ask, okay, everything is based on that. Now you say, how do I know it's correct?
Yeah, how come you know there aren't gradients, corrections, and things like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, there must be some coherence length that there's a superfluid.
Exactly. It's the correlation length of the state that you're trying to describe.
Absolutely.
It might be especially important near the
if it's a second order phase transition with an infinite correlation length, and your domain is much smaller than the correlation length.
Everything you said is correct. and then you see the so this is being looked at, and what is fine, what is that corrections, and certainly to if I really want to really identify the transition, I would like to make this to this region as big as possible. So this wouldn't be such so small. I mean, so there are ways to adjust the potential, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that to the extent that local density approximation is correct, then this is the result. Then you can study the correction.
Jason, I do not know why this state is more stable against some more uniform.
No, because of harmonic trap. You are forced to make it non-uniform.
Yeah, it is non-uniform, but I would like to make some density profile also more smooth instead of this traps, instead of these states to lower the potential energy.
I don't understand. What do you want to do?
What
do you want to achieve?
I want to achieve this density is non-uniform, but I get rid of these steps. Okay. This step costs a lot of energy, I always think.
No. I'm not being sarcastic. I think depending on what you want to do, if you want to produce a state of low energy, just open up a trap that's zero energy. But if you want to produce a state with one particle per size, then you need to do this. You need to go like this. You want to achieve this.
Yeah.
All right.
I change from 1/2 per size to 0.
Oh, you mean you want to make it like this?
Yeah.
Why? Well, the question: what do you want it to do with it? It's not But what I'm trying to say. At the moment, the goal is in all this team is to study to realize as a first step that the anti-firm at this phase such that you get magnetic ordering. If you cannot get this, you cannot get anything. And so you would defeat the purpose entirely. You destroy the state. But this state I want to make.
Yeah, but how can you make that state stable?
This state I have just told you is this state. Without spin ordering has been realized by a number of laboratories. It's very easy. You just put a trap on it. That's it. And they have seen a transition from this messy thing to something sharper. But they're still very far away from magnetic ordering. And this has been realized by two groups in Europe.
No,
it's quite far away at the moment. Yeah, but when they see the reason is that basically is to open up the doorway to the much greater things basically.
It's a good question. So can you also do these experiments at two different trap frequencies, for example, and then
What do you mean two different trap frequencies?
That is the harmonic trap. You do it at two different, slightly different frequencies, and then you can get out this derivative information that you have. Compare them and see if there's gradient correction or whatever.
I think that is something that one is there are procedures we propose that make use of changing the trap and as you say but for a different purpose, but the validity of for example the validity of local density approximation can be tested very well, because at the moment the RISE team is doing a 1D Fermi gas, the CFLLO, and that's the exact solution for beta ansatz. And the equation stays very well mapped out, and then the finite temperature. So one can test that but all this testing requires one single thing, which is that the experimentalist has to go in the regime, has to sharpen the weapon, they can measure this very accurately. And this is still evolving. We talked to Ketley a few years ago and they said, Jason, it's not possible to, we can only have a resolution of a few microns. Even as a few months ago, we talked to many experimentalists, it's not possible. And a few, 6 months ago, there's a paper from Europe by Ox group at Mainz. They can have resolution of less than, is it 0.15 micron? Which is less than, which is, this usually is, no, this this is, well, I don't know, these dimensions are usually 0.5 microns. He can have 0.15, he can actually map out the wave function inside here. And there's a very beautiful paper, since I cannot show, in science, and that they can, that, so measuring, measuring the density very accurately, it's now possible. It may not be possible in all U.S. laboratories, but it has been demonstrated as possible. But the day will come that they would have high resolution measurement in density, and they will have high resolution. So the point I'm trying to make to the atomic physics community is that now it's time to do quantum many-body position measurements, not atomic physics position measurements. Then the goal is to measure temperature with unprecedented accuracy, measure Campbell's potential, and measure the density. And then from this, you can extract lots of information.
You can test the validity of this assumption.
Yeah, and then you can also test the validity of this assumption. Even this whole thing is not quantitative correct. It cannot fail qualitatively. Because D is a, anyway, this because I'm sorry. The following is based from experience, because there's a 90%. There's only one case so far.
V is the
Hamming background potential. There's only one case so far in co-atom experiments that we know that then lower dense approximation is not good. Every single case works very exceedingly well.
You refer to the Bedard solution for the FF whole statement.
Not FF alone.
There's no confining potential. There's no exact solution.
No.
You worry about that?
What has been done is the following, that they have done the FF, but they have used the beta answer to map out the thermodynamic potentials. For example, to calculate N as a function of mu and T. Now, of course, you have two spin pop, but what is interesting is that I'm interested in this. Then this can be calculated by beta ansatz.
But not with the confining potential.
Ah, for uniform system. But to go to from uniform system to confining potential, this is the only trick that you need to do. To use the local dense approximation.
Local density approximation.
Yeah. Right. And then all.
Upper folk, right? Local density is
essentially. No, it's not this one. This is better than Archifolk. Because the equation stay is exact. I mean, you need the beta ansatz, and the Hachiport, you don't need the machinery beta ansatz. To find temperature beta ansatz is high non-trivial. So, yeah. I don't think I would be able to tell you about the. I don't want to take too much of the time because I don't want too long. So there. I mean, I just since David is here, I mentioned to the. This may be of some interest to you since Stephen Chu becomes the Secretary of Energy, and he still had a group. I think it's of a couple of months ago at Stanford doing experiments. So recently they have a paper on the current progress of boson quantum Hall. Seeing quantum Hall state in boson systems, right. So that is another area being worked on a lot. And
can you say a little bit about what you accomplished?
I want to impose a very strict time for my because I don't want to impose myself to.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
I'm going to tell you the difficulty of quantum Hall. And then the way to do it, and this somehow brings to the great ambitions of ENS, the laboratory. The harmonic potentials like this in a rotating frame. The omega, and then everything is Doppler shifted by this, and then so this is single particle Hamiltonian. Then you can write. Let me just bear with me for a while. So you have a centrifugal potential that flattens out swing something, it flattens out the trap. But then at the same point, the Coriolis force, then make it look like electrons in the magnetic field. So this Hamiltonian, the single particle Hamiltonian, it can solve, and it does have Landau level, except that the Landau level, because the harmonic trap is now not flat, it's tilted. Typically, now that is a general solution, the Landau level, that this is separation is the difference of the trap frequency. This is the rotation. This is small, and this one is omega plus omega. So what happened is that if you have a cloud, you rotate it, and that whole thing gradually flattens out, eventually becomes two-dimensional. And then when it's two-dimensional, you reside in the lowest Landau level. But then because of harmonic trap, then you're still confined because there's a harmonic trap. The place where we really exactly look like an electron is when you're at criticality, when this one exactly cancels. And that's a very delicate situation. Why? Because if you slightly go overboard, the whole thing becomes curving downward, the whole thing is unstable. So this is a very delicate thing. Unfortunately, the quantum hole sitting right around here. So you have to open up the trap very, then that's called origin of difficulty. That you open up a trap, but then you have to make sure that it is not that it is not unstable. But you say, well, I mean, why should I be stuck with this? I can make a harmonic component. So an harmonic component. So there's some effort of doing that. That was very bad for bosons. For fermions, it's okay. For bosons, because of Bose condensation, then the quantum Hall has a fight against Bose condensation. The Bose condensation always search for something that's lowest energy. So it's but for fermion, that's okay. But at the moment, all these experiments are on bosons.
What's the electric field here? The actual Hall effect is?
Presumably, one can just so basically all the tools in condensed matter are not available here. And then one had to use a different kind of method to detect quantum Hall, and that's one of the reasons. Again, in a few minutes, you'll see that it is, again, pushing the atomic physics community to a different level, i.e., there's a great demand in order to tell the quantum Hall. Now, naively, the electric field would be at a linear potential. A linear potential can be just an electric field, it can be done. But then what happens is if a cloud like this, and then you apply a field, and then holding just shifted, so you cannot actually see very much. So it's not the same kind of probe. However, if you have quantum Hall, then the density profile, again, look at that, well, is quantized. It's one and then zero. If you have a 1/2, then this is 1/2 and then zero. Now, you say, well, how am I going to measure 1/2? I'll come to this later. But let me just explain the difficulty. The difficulty is not only this. This means that you have to adjust things very delicately around this region. But more important is that you know that for quantum Hall, doesn't matter boson fermion, roughly speaking, the particles, you look at the occupation, more or less, they populate just more or less uniformly. Now, how many particles that you have? Well, 10 to 5 particles. Well, there's a big system, and you just pile 10 to 5. And then it turns out, then eventually you go up to the second Landau level. Now, what happened is that if you want to see before you go to Landau level, you don't want to work with this chunk of things, then that was the best way, that would be the optimal way you get a quantum Hall. This is about a few hundred atoms, about 500 atoms. So for 500 clusters, 5 particles, 500 clusters, you can get a decent quantum Hall. If you go to the large cloud, it's very difficult. In principle, yes, you can make it very flat, of course, but then that means that you have to have accuracy. At the moment, Eric Cornell can adjust the frequency such that this near criticality is 0.998. These are very, very difficult experiments. So to go to, but you need to, I don't know, 10 to the minus 7, something like that, you know, but this is not. So, but you say, well, we can go. It's okay, I can go to clusters. That's why Stephen Chu is going to clusters, and then why the ENS people clusters. Now, you say, I don't like 500 particles. But the best quantum Hall system numerically is 8 particles.
Well, some people are doing it.
So why don't you go now? Come to is David or someone's question. Okay, suppose I do this. How am I going to see this? Well, because this is densely quantized. But now we are mixing really quantum mechanics measurements with the condensed method now. But in quantum mechanics, when I measure it, I just measure it once, only one chance, and I'm going to get a typical configurations. So then one way, of course, is to produce a lot of samples and then see it. Now that is what Stephen Chu wanted to do. So what he did was the following, and Eric Miller and I have proposed this. So here's a lattice, and then each one of the lattice, and then you have the lattice size. Now, if you have three beams, then the lattice size is round. But then if you have a lattice, and then you put in two lasers around here, and then you look down, and then used to be a round site, but now because of this laser, it's slightly distorted. And you can distort it as much as possible depending on the intensity of this laser, and then you rotate it. And this experiment, this technique has been...
So it becomes like a rotating ellipse?
There's a rotating ellipse. So we have a lot of rotating crystals now. Now this method, probably most of you don't know the history about vortices in U.S. For many years, in the early days, MIT had made huge amount of effort to produce lattice, to produce a vortex lattice. Even one vortex without success. The first success is at ENS, using this method. And then they produce one vortex, seven vortices, beautiful. Once Catalina knows, he closed door. Next time, he opened the door, 200 vortices. But this is a very efficient way to pump angular momentum in the systems. There's a big cloud. I mean, there are 500 atoms, but then you have a lot of copies. And then that is the experiments being done. And then afterwards, they turn off the trap and see how the signature. Now, the problem of this experiment, which I think that's why they still haven't submitted to publication, is that there are problems of how do I know the exact number of atoms? Right? And then how do I know that they are really, exactly in the lower states, etc. So because of the many copies would enhance if they're identical, it will enhance signal. If they are not identical, it gives you ambiguities. So that is something that they can have not solved out. So as a result, the ENS people, they say, okay, let's not do any of this. We just work with this, one single cluster. I don't have any complications. I know exactly why I'm doing it. Now, the problem, however, is the signal is small. The signal is very small.
Just 500 atoms.
Right. Now, how are you going to do it? And there are... So they have figured out a way to do it. The reason I bring this up is that now one can see that now the precision measurement has gone into a different regime, because later on we will be... This experiment require measuring the position of every single atom, every single one of them. And then another kind of experiment, which I would not have time to talk about, is that here I need to be able to distinguish a system of 55 particles from 51 particles. And there are tricks to do that. You say that. But let me finish this one first and then briefly mention that. Now, how do I do it? That they have a very clever way. These guys are rotating somewhere. And they're okay, just turn off the trap, the whole thing. Turn off the trap, the whole thing just now. And also, and then eventually they go off very far away. At this point, when they're very far away, they turn on the optical lattice, freeze the particles. Now you can measure it. Then I said, can you measure it? No problem. Once you freeze the particle, they assure me that's a very good way you can measure every single particle position. So this is one of the realization of quantum mechanics. So you just do this many times. And then if it's quantum Hall states, the fluctuation delta n squared has to be go to zero. If it's not a quantum Hall state, then this one is there's a large fluctuation. is order n, is order otherwise is order one. And then so by just looking at the number of, but that requires measuring the positions of particles very accurately. This system has advantage. With the quantum Hall system, next round you have more particles, doesn't matter because it's compressible. There's another, but this, another kind of experiment, I don't need to tell you what this is, what exactly is a zero-dimensional RVB, but the problem is easily stated. The question is that, is it possible? Because now, when I prepare this sample, sometimes the one time I prepare the sample, I have 50 atoms, the other one I have 46 atoms, etc. Is it possible, even the number of particles fluctuating every time, by just looking at the, by just doing a measurement repeatedly, I can figure out the property of the system with exactly 50 particles. And turns out there's a way to do it. It's a very clever way to do it. And by just counting photons, it's a very clever. But I think I should not go on too long. But the point I'm trying to make is that certainly I'd like to.
If you capture these particles in an optical lattice, you lose any information about the momentum.
No, this one is, well, when you expand, when you turn it off, the whole thing is flying apart, but eventually they're going out very slowly. So the momentum, you don't want them to have too much momentum.
But you want to measure.
What happened is that here is this original system. That is something I'm interested in. But the information in this system is identical to the information when I turn off the trap, if I know exactly how it evolved. And so this evolution turns out to be very accurately described by just ballistic expansion, because this trap is really very tight. And then I expand it, everything just kinetic energy. So this evolution I know. So by measuring the final, if I have a way to measure the final density or the final position of particles, I can infer what happened before. And then this method is to wait until the particles slow down enough, and then I freeze the position. So it's not the original wave function, but after a certain time, t. So basically all the tricks, all the questions and tricks are slightly, they're all condensed matter, but it was slightly asked from a slightly different angle, because you don't start, you don't have this. Yeah, that's what they are trying to.
It was good enough. You could trap other
particles. Say again.
Turn on this optical lattice, how do you know that you've just trapped the particles that
are embedded from that? Because the optical lattice is the barrier. The barrier is very high. Because there's basically you expand in a vacuum. This is a whole vacuum. So this is they need to have a very good vacuum. The vacuum is a crucial issue. Now every now and then they may have some foreign particle, but just one or two, so you know.
Moreover, I mean, it has to be the same atom.
It's the same atom.
Yeah.
You take a photograph. It's just shy light. There's a transition. Suppose for certain atoms, and you go to excited states, there are certain lays. Yeah. So it's using atomic transition, they can.
Related question. So when you suddenly turn on the optical lattice, so you'll want this atom
will
want to get trapped, say the nearest point.
That's right. Okay, I get
so
that.
This is
true.
Another number fluctuation.
Oh yeah. But absolutely right. In fact, but if the average particle separation is several lattice size, then certainly when you turn on optical lattice, you're lucky. Some particle just happen in the middle, but some particle may be sitting at maximum. Then they will move around. It's absolutely true. But what is needed is that you need the particle to be really well separated so that the error is at most one lattice size. That's why you need to expand it for a while, and then so it's a very, 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 very dilute gas. And that is being attempted now, as of now.
Anything else? All right, we've really taken a lot of Jason's energy, so that's really thank you.